This is Go Hither Limping, written by Ms. Lullabies and read by Flower Parish. This is a Witcher fic, rated explicit, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. It features the relationship Yaskir/Yennefer. Summary. Yennefer had been navigating the world heavily armed, so to speak, for almost all of her long life, and remembering that she no longer had even the magical equivalent of a paring knife made her cautious in ways she hadn't been in decades.
It's what my heart just yearns to say in ways that can't be said. It's what my rotting bones will sing when the rest of me is dead. It's what's engraved upon my heart in letters deeply worn.
Yaskir had offered the use of the room he was keeping above the tavern for Yennefer's bath, although not Cahir's. He ordered the bath drawn up, let Yennefer in, and then excused himself, saying he had to go to the market. Yennefer was dry and dressed again by the time he returned. He'd brought back cider, bread, and cheese, and she'd decided she'd given this enough consideration. It had been too long since she had simply had her pleasure, she thought, as Yaskir pressed her against the wall and kissed her. He, like most, needed very little encouragement before he let her put her hands on him. He was annoyingly skillful, kissing her with delicate little kitten licks that gradually ventured deeper into her mouth, kisses that made it easy to imagine the same attentions on her clit. She sighed, thinking of that, of him on his knees with his head tilted up between her legs, and then a strange little tightness twinged through her chest as she realized. She couldn't really allow that. If he took it into his head to bite her, she had no way to make him stop, not anymore. No spell to throw him back or take his mind or slice his skin open so he'd flinch away. She shouldn't even be letting him this close if she wasn't in the mood for more risk. He eased back from her mouth, and she pushed away the instinct to chase him and keep kissing him, which had remained even as her thoughts had turned sour and violent. "Yennefer," he murmured sweetly. His hands stroked her waist. His grip would be quite strong from playing his lute, she realized. He didn't have the bulk of muscle that a witcher or a soldier or even a farmhand had, but he still outweighed her. "Tell me what you like best," he said, sweet and rough, as he dragged his parted lips over her jaw to her ear. "How would you have me?" "I really don't care," she answered automatically. "It all does the same job. Do as you like." It was the only true answer. She had no means to ensure anything else. Yaskir's mouth went still on her ear, and he laughed softly, his belly shaking against hers, the sensation exotic. "Gods, should have figured out you'd be just like him," he said, sounding rueful now, and she sympathized. There was no point in trying to keep the specter of Geralt out of any bed they would share, or any bit of wall. He drew back more than he had since they'd started and looked for her eyes, and it was all she could do not to roll them. His own were plain human blue, with lines at the corners that betrayed his disposition to anyone who got close enough to look. "How about what you don't like, then?" he asked, not so sultry now, but still soft. He darted close for another little flicker of a kiss, and Yennefer's impatience rose and coiled. "Anything I shouldn't do?" he asked, as his hands skated up her waist to just beneath her ribs, the touch making her aware that he could probably lift her quite easily. "Just get on with it. We haven't got all day," she said, trying to make it sound less like she was snapping at him and more like real eagerness. But a strange look came into his eyes at her answer, or rather, at the way she ducked the question. And too late, she remembered that Yaskir was not stunted the way Geralt was, or even in the way that most other men were limited. The expressions of someone's face or emotions were not some answerless riddle in a dead language to him, and she watched in growing fear and irritation as he realized, remembered, which way the balance of power now tipped between them, and saw how it was affecting her. "Yennefer," he said again, and took one hand off her waist to reach up for her hand and drag her fingers from where they were dug in at the back of his neck around to his mouth. He kissed them, even let his tongue touch her fingertips, but the motion had an air of conclusion about it. She snorted. "It's not enough to have the better of me," she said. "We have to play like I don't know it." Yaskir shut his eyes and shook his head, his expression inscrutable to her. He kept his lips against her hand, brushing against her knuckles as he said, "If you can't tell me no, then you can't tell me yes, not really." Yennefer felt that vicious thing that lived inside her grow taut, fueled by the itching awareness of her numerous disadvantages, and the anger of being slighted, and the warm, wet ache in her cunt that Yaskir had stoked and now, apparently, would not feed. "You sickening, simpering romantic," she spat. "Excuse me for refusing to place all my coin on your obedience." "You're not really helping your case by calling me overly romantic when I am only showing you the most rudimentary decency." Frustration seeped into his voice as he spoke, but his grip on her hand did not tighten. He did not press her any harder against the wall, nor did he retreat or take his touch away. "Decency," Yennefer said, or tried to say, with contempt, but she hesitated too long, and the word caught strangely in her throat. "Mm-hmm." Yaskir's hum sounded faintly musical, while Yennefer could feel her throat closing. She wondered if he could feel her breathing losing its rhythm, the same way she had felt his laughter. He lifted his eyes to hers again, his thumb stroking the center of her palm. The callus on its edge was as hard and smooth as a river stone. "I understand," he said, more quietly than anything else that had been said thus far. "You do not." Yennefer was more certain of that than she was of the floor beneath her. "Perhaps I can't empathize," he conceded, still speaking in the warm, quiet tones of lover's talk, even though Yennefer was of the opinion they had been arguing for several minutes now. "But I do understand." She didn't believe him. Everything about him was completely unbelievable. But she didn't know how to say that, or how to make it cut him and not her, so she just shook her head and looked away, her gaze fixed on nothing. Yaskir stayed close, still holding her hand, still with his head bent to hers. "I'm going to go and lay down." He tilted his head, indicating the bed they'd ignored until now. "Come and lay with me if you like, and we'll get some rest before we have to move tonight." He kissed her temple, her hand again, and began to back away. Her fingers spasmed closed on his, gripping him without her intention. She expected him to say something, or at least look at her with mockery, but he only tipped his head forward to graze his lips across her fingers once more, his eyes still warm on hers. He backed away again, and this time she was braced for it and let him. He took his coat off and draped it over the footboard, then sat down on the bed and started on his boots. When his feet were bare, he lay down on his back, still dressed and leaving plenty of room on the other side of the bed. Yennefer could go for the door, or the chair, or she could walk around the bed and lay down in the space he'd left for her, and he wouldn't know which it was until she was halfway there. The bed was stuffed with feathers, not straw, a testament to Yaskir's success in Redania. The bedding was cool through her cloak, which she had not taken off. Yaskir's warmth seeped through it to touch her back as she lay down on her side, facing the door. After a moment, that warmth drew closer around her. Yaskir's arm flitted into and then out of her peripheral vision as he wrapped it around her middle. He wiggled closer. His shoulder would catch her braid beneath it in a minute, she thought, and his weight would pull on it. If she asked him not to pull, she wondered, would he move, go to the trouble of rearranging himself? Or would he pull harder, on purpose, once he knew that she didn't like it? She did not find out how he would respond to the request, as the hand not around her took hold of her hair and carefully set it up and out of the way on the pillow without her asking, as he pressed closer, fitting his knees behind hers. "Is this the way you like to be held?" he asked, trying one more time, as every romantic ever would. Fully clothed, laying in bed, without the touch of his tongue on her skin as punctuation, the question felt slightly different. A strange little process started up in Yennefer, a feeling in her belly that rose to her chest and did something that felt like putting on armor. She hadn't felt this, hadn't needed to do this, in so long that it took her a moment to identify the sensation as she screwed up her courage. "No," she said, and her voice would never shake, but she knew too much of her effort was showing. "Tighter," she demanded, before her bravery broke free from its summoning. Yaskir pressed closer still, nuzzling into her hair, and folding his arms at the elbow as he pressed his forearm up between her breasts so that his hand rested on her sternum. He squeezed her tightly, his arm and all the rest of his body flexing closer to her. "Like this?" he asked. Through her frazzled nerves, she could tell he was keeping his tone intentionally neutral. He also didn't want her to stop or go away. Put your leg over mine," she commanded. One leg came up over both of hers, his warmth enveloping her even further. He briefly rubbed the side of his bare foot against her shin through her clothes, and then squeezed her tightly with his arm and leg both. "I live to obey," he murmured into her hair. "And if the day comes when you believe that, or when your magic is replenished and you don't need to believe it..." He paused, and she thought he was letting her imagine the result. "But then, I will happily suffocate between your thighs. I will save my coin so that I need not perform for a month, so that I can exhaust my tongue in your quim." She snorted with laughter against her better judgment, and felt him shiver as he pressed his smile into the nape of her neck. They lay there and waited for the night, while Yennefer's breathing steadied, and then went ragged, and then steadied again. And all throughout, Yaskir held her, exactly as tightly as she wanted to be held. The end.
"It's not fair, 'cause you make me ache, you bastard. And he'll say, oh how unreasonable. How unreasonably in love I am with everything you do. I'll spend my days so close to you, 'cause if I'm stood here, then I'm stood here. And I'll stand here with you.